Coming up on KUCB News, the Unalaska City School District plans to reopen schools next month, and the number of COVID-19 cases in Alaska continues to soar. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Thursday, July 30th, 2020. The Unalaska City School District plans to move forward with reopening for the upcoming school year. Superintendent John Conwell said at a special school board meeting last night that the district plans to open under the state's Smart Start 2020 program.
Planning for the reopening of Unalaska schools has been ongoing since last spring. A working group of administrators and teachers met during the first week of June to develop the framework for the school reopening plan using the planning template provided by the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development.
The department has requested that school districts submit their plans by August 7th and no later than the first day of school, said Conwell. Planning for the reopening and operation of schools during the COVID-19 pandemic has been a daunting task, he said, with an infinite number and variety of variables and unknowns. While Unalaska has reported 96 positive cases of the coronavirus so far, almost all have been within the seafood industry, and none have been attributed to community spread. Dr. Murray Butner, a physician at Unalaska's clinic, said that pediatricians and child psychologists agree that the risks of keeping schools closed far outweigh the risks of the virus spreading among the school-age population, and that Unalaska students are best served in an in-person setting, interacting with effective teachers.
You know, until we get community spread, the kids should be very safe in school, and we want them to be there. And socializing and learning. And then once we start getting community spread, we'll just have to see if it, you know, how much there is, and we hope for the best, and take it as it goes forward.
Despite the plan to open, the school board provided a draft of what each area of the school will look like, the number of students allowed, and what types of personal protective equipment they will need to be using. In the cafeteria, for example, Conwell said plexiglass shields will be put up at lunch tables to help separate students into smaller groups. And students will be asked to wear face masks when they cannot be 6 feet apart. Still, some board members and parents that attended the meeting expressed concern about students' ability to maintain social distancing behaviors. In response, Conwell said this upcoming school year will likely involve some balancing acts.
We don't want our schools to become so rigid and inflexible and sort of just unfun that students don't want to be there. We believe we have great teachers here. We have great staff. We believe that we can teach our students some routines.
The school board will meet again next week to further discuss the UCSD reopening plan. Meanwhile, the number of COVID-19 cases in Alaska continues to soar. And with dozens of new infections reported each day, the data and how to make sense of it all can be, well, a little confusing. Alaska Public Media's Tegan Hanlon and Casey Grove discussed where Alaska stands in the pandemic.
Okay, so it's the end of July now. More than 4 months have passed since Alaska announced its first coronavirus case. How would you describe the current COVID-19 situation in the state?
What I have found recently helpful is each week the state health department releases a summary of the past 7 days of COVID-19 cases. And the most recent one today describes last week as, quote, Alaska's worst week of the pandemic yet. And that's because of the rapid increase in new infections among Alaskans and among non-residents who are here for work or travel or for other reasons.
The worst week. That's pretty sobering.
Yeah, it's certainly to the point. And the state says in this summary that if people's behavior doesn't change, if more people don't wear masks or social distance and keep the circle of people they're seeing small, then the number of cases here is on track to double every 23 days.
Wow. Okay. Well, what else do we know about the new cases? Are there any trends?
There are. Like in other parts of the country, the majority of new COVID-19 infections in Alaska are linked to residents in their 20s. And the number of cases among Alaskans in their 30s is also growing pretty rapidly. The state said in its recent weekly summary that many cases are tied to bars and social gatherings. Also, there have been a few pretty significant recent outbreaks among seafood workers. And third, according to the state, the interior region, excluding the Fairbanks area, was last week's hotspot with the most new infections per capita.
So what I'm hearing, to really simplify this, is COVID-19 infections continue to increase. Health experts are increasingly concerned. Is there any good news?
Well, the state does say in this recent report that hospital capacity is adequate, and the sharp rise in cases has not led to a similar sharp rise in hospitalizations. It does curb that statement by saying, however, that there hasn't been a rise in hospitalizations yet. And other states have reported that it can be several weeks before people infected with COVID-19 become sick enough for the hospital.
Yeah, I imagine hospital capacity is one thing we're all definitely going to continue paying attention to moving forward. Tegan, what else?
The list for what else we're paying attention to is long, but I'd say at the top, I'd include the capacity to test here in Alaska and the capacity to trace the recent contacts of those newly infected. We're also tracking, you know, how the government and schools and other agencies are responding to the rising number of cases. And right now, some are tightening restrictions. Like in Anchorage, the mayor has reinstated limitations on bars and on restaurants and gatherings. Also, Anchorage and a collection of other local communities have issued mask mandates. And while we're talking about Anchorage, school is also on the top of a lot of people's minds. And the school district here is readying for online-only classes next month. And the Mat-Su School District says it will require most students to wear masks. And the list of other coronavirus-impacted businesses and activities goes on. And we'll see what happens moving forward.
That was Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove and Tegan Hanlon. Since mid-March, Unalaskans have been hunkering down and socially isolating due to the COVID-19 pandemic. During that time, many people have been avoiding crowds in public spaces such as bars, restaurants, and supermarkets, and spending more time in their own kitchens. Over the past couple months, our arts and culture reporter, Maggie Nelson, has been putting together an Unalaska quarantine kitchen cookbook, sitting down with a few locals to hear about what kind of experiments, recipes, and memories they've been cooking up during the COVID-19 pandemic. Last week, in part four of our four-part series, Maggie spoke with former Unalaska high school teacher Shauna Rudio about her trusty Instant Pot and transitioning to home-based education in the wake of the pandemic. And today, in a bonus episode, Maggie takes a look back at some of the quarantine trends and recipes she herself has tried out while isolating over the past couple months.
Oh yeah, we got some nice peaks there. It is velvety. It is a nice, like, caramely color. Ooh! This is so much better than yesterday's attempt.
That was the second attempt at making whipped coffee and the beginning of my chronicled adventures in quarantine kitchen experiments. It was early April. Unalaska had been ordered to hunker down for nearly 3 weeks in order to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. And I, like many people at the time, was in search of something to spice up my life, to make a mark in the never-ending loop of time my days had become. And frankly, it was hard to resist the social media trends, especially when they looked so elegant and sounded so simple. And one of the most popular, seemingly simplest, and most Instagrammable was the whipped or dalgona coffee trend. It consists of three simple ingredients: instant coffee, sugar, and warm water. And of course, the final, not-so-secret ingredient, some kind of social media platform to post your final product to. This seems to be the most important part of the quarantine cooking virtual trends.
Just got a nice spot in the kitchen to take the picture. Got some parsley in the background.
Dramatic. Too dramatic. After several failed attempts using the wrong type of coffee, be sure to use instant coffee for this recipe and not just ground espresso, and about 90 minutes of mostly unproductive whipping, I had a beautiful heaping cup of velvety whipped coffee draped over creamy coconut milk on ice, and of course, the quintessential Instagram photo to go with it. My friends and family showered me with the instant hard-eyed emoji reactions I was looking for and hoping would fulfill my unmet needs for real social interaction. With the thumbs up and virtual approval pouring in, it was time to move on to the next trend, bread making.
Going to make bread, but first we have to wash dishes. Worst part.
At this point, it was late April. I was still social distancing, but like many Unalaskans who are considered essential workers, I was still working and didn't have an obscene amount of extra time. But I still wanted to join my fellow social media survivalist bakers. So while sourdough bread making seemed to be the trendiest at the time, I opted for a simpler bread recipe, one that came from the New York Times and included a tutorial video. It was a less strenuous but equally artisanal-esque approach. A no-knead, long-proof loaf.
Okay, after approximately 24-hour proof, just enough flour to keep dough from sticking. That works.
Well-versed in reading ingredients, recipes, and double-checking that I had the proper tools and items, hoping to avoid a similar debacle with my not-so-instant coffee, my bread came out without a hitch. About 24 hours from start to finish, most of that time was simply waiting, it emerged from my tiny oven, crispy, fluffy, and even a little tangy. By this time, I felt that I had sufficiently experienced the quarantine social media cooking trend, but my adventures in quarantine kitchen weren't over. I had been compiling recordings and creating episodes about Unalaskans in their kitchens while they were socially distancing, and had just finished writing about former Unalaska high school teacher Shauna Rudio's famous butter chicken.
I love my Instant Pot keto butter chicken. That is, I've had people tell me, they're like, that's restaurant food! It makes me feel like a superstar. You know?
Shortly after the episode aired, junior high math teacher Emma Carr, who lives in Rudio's old house, excitedly messaged me. Loved the Shauna QK episode. I have inherited the very Instapot of which she spoke. Can I have the butter chicken recipe? Rather than just handing the precious recipe over, I suggested we make the butter chicken together, as we operate in the same COVID isolation bubble.
The famous Instapot butter chicken. In the Instant Pot of Shauna Rudio.
Yeah, we're being extremely authentic with Shauna Rudio's house and Instant Pot. So it's gonna be the real deal.
Clouded by sheer excitement and in awe of the much coveted Rudio Instant Pot, Carr and I, both being somewhat novice Instant Potters, fudged a few parts of the recipe. Namely, we forgot the butter. But in our defense, technical issues with the famous Rudio Instant Pot did play a major part in our butterless butter chicken.
Right away or okay, now it's going down. Maybe. Oh, that's mid. Whoa, did we do hours?
Well,
we did.
Okay,
we gotta turn this off.
Oh, no.
So it's been.
Yeah, this is the part that I was like, I thought to clean this after.
Yeah, oh,
well, see, to finish.
So no!
Okay.
Well,
what do we do now?
I think we gotta go with it.
All in all, after baking it in the oven, the chicken turned out great, and all parties were pleased despite the glitch. And while this experiment wasn't exactly Instagrammable, as they say, it was a nice reminder of the way cooking, even when it goes horribly wrong, can bring us together through space, time, and faulty Instant Pots. In Unalaska, I'm Maggie Nelson.
This has been a bonus episode of our once four-part series. Keep an eye out for more bonus episodes of Unalaska's Quarantine Kitchens. The deadline to participate in the PCR's virtual Ballyhoo Mountain Run is tomorrow. Because of social distancing mandates due to the coronavirus pandemic, instead of joining together and racing up the mountain and back down in a matter of minutes like in previous years, runners and hikers must record their run with a tracking app on their phone and submit a screenshot of their time and route by August 1st to be included in the official results. The record time of 24 minutes still stands. It was set by Ben Bullock in 2010. To find out more, visit our community calendar at KUCB.org. KUCB will hold an interview program this Friday with guests Rob McKinney and Dan Kitchens, Float Shuttle's Chief Operating Officer and Chief Commercial Officer. The two are taking the lead in restarting Raven Air Group's scheduled flight service between Anchorage and Unalaska Dutch Harbor. Tune in to hear the program tomorrow at noon, rebroadcasting at 5 p.m. here on KUCB 89.7 FM. And stay tuned for an episode of Foggy Island Discs, where we ask Unalaskans what five songs they'd choose if they were stranded on a Bering Sea island. Today, we're hearing from Sarah Spelsberg. That's up after the Anungan Word of the Week and NPR News. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at KUCB.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.